What's the most important resource that you have? If you really thought about this deeply, I think you'd come to the same conclusion that Joey and I did. It's time. In our newest book, What's Without Wall Street, The 3 Steps to Financial Freedom Through Passive Income, we talk about how are we tracking that time? What is the thing that we can do to get more of that time back?
That's right. If you've ever been listening to our podcast and thought, man, it would be amazing if I could take all the things that you guys have learned over the last 10 years and just summarize them, put them in some way to easily digest them and take action, that's what this book is all about. You're not going to want to miss it. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/newbook and get your copy today.
Russ, I'm going to go ahead and say, I am so grateful that you chose to put somebody else on the spot on today's episode.
I like asking questions and making people think quickly. And you know me, Joey, I love coming up with ideas. And as we were interviewing Brian Elwood today with 12 Houses to Freedom, the podcast that shows you how to create passive income, I love that he, one, was okay with me asking.
Yeah, he was.
And also, I feel like he gave us pretty good feedback. And I don't know if we can implement this idea or not, but if you're looking for ways to create income for yourself, maybe passion income is what he talked about, which is really pursuing something that you're super interested in. Or if you're someone with cash and you need to find a partner to help you implement it, that was the purpose of me asking all of those questions.
Yeah, I love the fact that he kind of dethroned you a little bit in this episode. Like, he was the idea guy this time.
He really
Are you okay with that, by the way?
Look, hey, you know, this is a little bit like Mike Tyson, right? Nobody saw Buster Douglas taking him down. It happened, though. And you don't know how to act until you get punched in the face. So, look, I'm coming back with more ideas. But today, Brian brought up a concept that I thought was really important. We were discussing on his podcast about the importance of getting our time back and how do we get there? What's the vehicle to get there? And there's all these different passive income streams that we can build and plans and process we can put in place. And he hit us, Joey, with a different thought. If time is our most valuable asset, how are we tracking it?
Exactly. You track the things that are most important to you. And if you don't pay attention to it, it'll get away from you. In fact, I love how we even led into the fact that as entrepreneurs, we can start off with one goal in mind and look up 2, 3, 5, 10 years later and realize we're completely opposite of where we started.
Well, one of the things that he brought up in this episode that we're going to add to our future passive income reports is a time report. And so I'm going to challenge you right now. If you're keeping up with your passive income, also keep up with your time. Track how much time are you spending working? How much time are you spending playing and doing the things that you want to do? And how much are you spending creating businesses and other things to create passive income? And lastly, Joey, how much time are you spending aloof?
Yeah, wasting time.
I think if we would track those things, not only would we see, are we getting closer to our goal of spending more time playing and enjoying the things that we love in life, but we also will actually get there faster. So let's jump into this episode with Brian Elwood.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
All right, you're in for a treat today. We have Brian Elwood joining us live. Man, Brian, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Brian, is it true that any publicity is good publicity?
No.
Well, I mean, as we were talking before we started recording, you mentioned, and I, if you don't mind, let's bring our audience into that conversation. Let's go back 7, 8 years ago. You're in Nashville. And you walk outside and there's a camera crew in your front yard. Let's talk about that. What was going on?
Yeah. So, you know, I had built a pretty big wholesaling and flipping real estate business, and we're doing, you know, 100 deals a year. And some person had called the local news and said, these people are not doing business the right way, or that someone's opinion. And the local news basically like showed up at my house because my name was on the LLC, and just surprised the hell out of me and asked me 20 questions about our business and what we were doing. And, you know, we were one of probably, you know, several hundred companies doing the same thing in our area, but we got picked to be on the nightly news about it. And man, it sucked. It's just, it emotionally like messed me up for some reason. Cause I just thought like everyone was going to think I was like some kind of scam artist or whatever. And I was really just doing what, you know, I bought a real estate course that taught me how to go get a property under contract and assign it to someone else for a fee. And I got really good at it and built a big business around it. And, yeah. So, I mean, they asked us a bunch of questions. I didn't answer any of them. I just like did the whole walk off thing, you know, the perp walk. It's like, this guy's obviously hiding something because he won't even talk to us. But I just didn't know, like, I was just, you know, like dumbfounded. And that was a big turning point in my career and me getting more clear on what I wanted and not just like going after money at the sake of lifestyle or anything else. So definitely a turning point in my career.
Well, you mentioned wholesaling, and our audience have heard that term, but maybe somebody's listening to this for the first time and they're like, I don't even understand what that is. So if it's all right, let's kind of go back and figure out how you led up to that point. How did you mentioned that, you know, you started doing real estate and you got super successful in it, but there was this thing called wholesaling where you had to learn how to do this. Do you mind taking this through that elementary part just so that way if there's somebody listening that never heard that, I don't want them to leave them behind?
Yeah. So do you want like the whole backstory or just wholesaling specifically?
Yeah. Give me just the good part.
Yeah. So I started out in, you know, 9 to 5, typical corporate America grind. I was extremely unhappy there, actually to the point of feeling depressed pretty often and just being sick to my stomach about the thought of going and sitting at that cubicle for another day from 9 to 5. And so I quit the job and went and worked at a local grocery store like up the street from my house, making $8-9 an hour, because I just needed like some mental space to think about what I wanted to do, and I needed to preserve some energy to apply towards that. That's when I got into the Rich Dad Poor Dad books. I met a mentor who flipped houses and he taught me to go out and find deals. Then I came across this educator that taught wholesaling, which is basically go out and find a deal. You just get it under contract, like as if you were going to buy it, but then you just find someone else to buy it and you assign your position on the contract over to them for an assignment fee. Usually 10, 15 grand is like a lot of the assignment fees we were making. So it's like pretty good money for the amount of work you do, right? You just like, hey, I'll buy your house for 60. And then if you can go find someone who'll pay 70 for it, you assign your position to them. You make 10 at the closing. So that's wholesaling. And I started out with that. I wanted passive income, like the Kiyosaki books say, but I was hypnotized by this quick cash thing in the beginning. I mean, you don't have any money. Sometimes it's hard to think about like long-term wealth and passive income when you literally just like need money in the bank account. You don't have any commas, right, in your bank account balance. So you aren't really thinking like, I put my dream of passive income on the back burner, and I got into wholesaling. I scaled that business to where we had, you know, a team of about 10 doing like 1 to 1.5 million a year in revenue, which is about 100 deals, a little more some years. We were at that run rate for about 4 years. And then towards the end of that was when the news story happened. And I wasn't happy anyways. Yes, I was making good money like on my taxable income, but I wasn't keeping any of it. My whole day was dominated by calls and meetings and leading a team of like 8 other people under me. And, you know, it was very much a job as the CEO. And then the news thing was like the straw that broke the camel's back. And I really shifted gears after that.
So you mentioned that you were really making decisions based on making money up to that point. And then what became clear at that point in your mind, once that kind of, you know, it was really an emotional kind of a turning point, because you're like, wait a minute, why am I doing this? This is going on. What kind of changed after that?
Well, it was something you actually said, Joey, when you were on our podcast, which was like, you said people should start with their ideal lifestyle, like a clear picture of it, and work backwards from there to the decisions they make. So it takes you in that direction. That's when I started to realize that was when that all this happened. I was like, well, damn, like, what do I even want? And I hired a coach, a guy named Kent Clothier, and he helped me like illustrate my perfect day, like in detail. And then I started to wake up every day and I'd say, okay, well, that's the lifestyle I want to get to. And it actually was, I have a portfolio of rentals and I spend my time coaching and helping other people, which is what I do now. And I just looked at that and I just said, well, what can I do today to move me a little bit more towards that lifestyle? And I would do something for like 20 or 30 minutes. And then I would run out of time and I had to go run the wholesaling business again, you know, but I was at least chipping away at what I really wanted. And that was a turning point for me.
Well, so what you're talking about is clarity, which we always talk about on our show as the very first step, because some people really want to engage with us or others about what the investment is, like the vehicle, before they even know where they're headed. Mm. You know, it's backwards, but like to your point, once you had that picture, which by the way, I want to get your expertise on this, because there's somebody listening right now who doesn't have the courage to write out what that ideal day looks like, because they know it's so different than what their life looks like right now. Like they're stuck in that position that you mentioned. They're driving to work and they're sick to their stomach. They know that last week they missed an opportunity to go coach their kids' baseball team or soccer team or whatever it may be because they were stuck at work, and they don't feel like the ideal day is even possible. So I'd love to borrow some of your experience on that and maybe some tips or tricks that you used or learned along the way that somebody could take away from this call or this podcast right now. What would you tell that person?
It's a good question, man. I had to think about that for a second when you asked it, because when I first did this, the version that I created was ridiculous. It's like, I want to own like a private island and like 4,000 rental units. And, you know, I made up these numbers because I was told you got to have the vision. I was like, well, if I can have anything, I might as well, you know, have 10 houses, like, you know, that I live in. But
where was that?
That's kind of silly. I don't know. Somewhere tropical.
Okay, cool.
Turks and Caicos. I'm not sure really. But but that is like I don't know. You guys probably have goals and things for every year. Have you ever written a goal and you made it so big that it didn't feel like obtainable, or you didn't feel like you could really relate with it?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, when people want to get fit or something and they want to start running, they put these unreasonable goals on themselves. Like, all right, I haven't been doing anything. I'm going to start running 5 miles a day. That is like way too hard. You should run. One of my buddies is like really good at this. And we had a buddy who was overweight, needed to get in shape. He was like, dude, just go out the front door and run to the next mailbox and back. And that's your run for the day.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow you got to run to 2 mailboxes. And the next day you got to run 3 mailboxes, right? It's like when you, that's like overly approachable, where it's just like, okay, I can run to the neighbor's mailbox and back, you know? So I would say, don't make your ideal day this ridiculous thing where you have like 10 Lamborghinis and stuff. Is that really what you want?
Right.
Or do you want to just like wake up and be able to like spend your time doing what you please? I've talked to so many people. I've worked with hundreds of clients at this point. Most people could actually live their perfect lifestyle for $5,000 a month or something. If you really boil down what it takes to like pay their mortgage or pay their rent plus groceries. And, you know, most people don't really want stuff or great wealth. They just want time. And so start small. You know, a great coaching question to ask yourself is not like, I can't do this. I can't create my ideal life. But instead, like, what would it need to look like for me to be comfortable to move forward in that direction? So for you, what would that need to look like? I coached a guy who was terrified to buy a rental property. He just would not do it. And I was like, what would it need to look like for you to do this? He's like, man, well, if I could like partner with somebody. So he ends up like partnering with his brother and they bought the first rental together. And for some reason, he needed mentally to have a partner to jump off the diving board, so to speak, into the pool. And now he's got 10 rentals, you know, and he doesn't need his brother there anymore. So just make it however you need to make it to be able to move forward. You don't have to copy me or anybody else.
All right. By the way, Joey, can you send Joey the tips on that running to the mailbox and back? If there's like that progression, he could use that.
I'm just worried about the guy that lives in the country. He's like, dude, do you know how far the next mailbox is?
Oh, that's a good point. You know. Yeah, this is only for like urban areas. Yeah. Yeah.
If you live in like a condo or apartment complex, that's pretty awesome. Like, you know, like run like a half a step, like in back. That's the kind of running I do. When the whistle quit blowing, I quit running. All right, so I have another idea. Joey, I shared this with you earlier. I want to run this by Brian. You good with this?
I mean, I have no idea, but I'm...
So what you just said, though, made me think of it. You were talking about the person who was partnering with someone else and getting up to speed to a point that they were comfortable and confident to keep going. Well, what we find in our community is we have two groups of people. One group is in a job that they really hate and they want to get out of. And maybe it's because it's a limit to how much income they can make. And they see people who are, you know, they just heard what you said. Oh, wow. Wholesaling, making $10,000 for finding a property, then turning around and assigning that property to someone else. How many of those could you do in a month? If I did one, that's still more than I'm making a month in my current job. That's interesting, right? And they think about that. Well, then on the other end of the spectrum is people who have more money than they have time. And they're looking to try to create mailbox money. They want to get in partnerships with people, get their money to work and start creating cash flow. But they don't want another job. They don't want anything to do with the actual day-to-day, but maybe from a mentorship standpoint, maybe from a business, you know, acumen standpoint where they can add value to the relationship. And so I would love to know, like, how can we partner those people together? How can we help both of those groups get exactly out of the relationship what they want? And it may not be a long-term relationship. Maybe it's a 1-3 year deal. And then the person who's got all the experience and now has created capital doesn't need the business relationship and the capital the other guy brings to the table, but maybe they do. Have you ever considered like that option as you're coaching students on how to actually perform real estate deals, go buy properties, maybe do wholesale and maybe do long-term rental or other methods with it? Have you ever thought about how you might partner those people together? If not, let's work on it today.
No pressure.
Interesting. I love it. I love how your brain works, man. I can see a world if like the person with no money wants to buy rentals and doesn't have the money.
Right.
And the person that has the money just wants to invest and not be hands off. Then the investor could be the private money lender
right.
for the broke person to buy deals. Now, if the rich guy wants more long-term, you know, ownership, because private money lending, you know, comes and the money comes in and comes back. You don't get all the benefits of like depreciation, write-offs and appreciation and all the things you get when you hold real estate. But I could see that working. Typically, like if I talk to somebody who has tons of cash and they just want to put it in real estate and they don't want to do any work, I don't enroll them in my real estate coaching program to teach them how to, you know, do the Burr method and be a bit more involved. Cause I know that they're not going to really want to do that. they'd almost be better just buying turnkey rentals from a turnkey provider, even though you're not going to really have any equity and a lot less cash flow. But, you know, like look at like Mark Cuban or somebody. You think he wants to like mail out postcards and take calls to get like a little bit more equity? You know, like he probably just tosses his money somewhere and doesn't think about it because he has tons of it. So yeah, it's an interesting question. I can't think of a way right now other than private money lender and then borrower.
Well, I mean, and here's the thing, like obviously the person who doesn't have money, they may not even know how to do the deals, but yet they're coming to you as a coach and saying, hey, teach me how to do the Burr method. Teach me how to mail and to market and to have those conversations with the potential sellers and how, you know, how to work with the relationships with all the different contractors that I may need to do the renovations with and all of that stuff, right? So they're going through this process and they're being groomed to be an expert. But I also, I'm sure since you've worked with hundreds, my assumption is there's a group of them that may end up being really good at actually performing the job, but not really great at getting the capital that they need because they don't have that skill set. And so, like you said, there could be private lenders, but I'm thinking, what if it was a business relationship? Maybe that person partnered with them on the front end to help pay for some of the school that they were getting. You know, obviously, to me, it's not just the education, it's doing deals with the coach to learn actually how to do it. So they got to have money. Where are they going to get that money? That's where that equity relationship would come in and there's value there. Could you see something like that working, or am I stretching too far?
Well, if you think about the difference between like the wealthy person just throwing money into turnkeys, you're going to buy a house for like, let's say 90 grand and it's going to rent for 900 a month and it's going to be worth 90 grand. So there's like 5K or no equity and maybe $100 a month in passive income.
Right.
But it's like renovated turnkey. It's under good management. You could just, if you had a ton of money, you could buy a bunch of them. That's like what the wealthy person would do without a partner. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if he brings that poor guy in who wants to invest, willing to put in all the hustle, you probably end up buying the same deal for like 50,000 and putting, let's say, 15 grand into the repairs. So you're in it for 65 and it still rents for 900. It's still worth 90,000. So now you've got 25,000 of equity and probably about $300 a month of net positive cash flow.
Right.
So that's the difference between the two scenarios, like buying turnkey versus doing Burr on your own.
Right.
So whether or not that difference would be worth it to the guy with money would be up to him or her, I think.
Yeah.
On whether or not they wanted to have like a partnership where now they have half of that equity and half of that extra cash flow. I don't know. I think if I had the money and no time and no interest, I would probably not want to partner with someone who was brand new and like, you know, pay for their learning experiences, like with my money, you know, as I screwed some things up. I'd probably rather rethink it, but I see why you're asking this, because there's some world where that could possibly work.
Well, there's nothing like putting somebody completely on the spot on our podcast. I appreciate Russ for that. It's one of his gifts. He does it to me. I'm glad he picked you this time instead of me. But yeah, so Brian, tell us a little bit about how you have subsequently grown to where you're at now and what the future looks like for you. Like where are you headed at this point?
Sure, man. So one thing I realized that I want to share with your audience is like, I had this belief in my head that was like, okay, you want to coach, teach, help other people in some way. I've known this about myself since I was in grade school. I wanted to teach the class. Like I thought I could do better than the teacher. I was like, I want to be up there. I love teaching. And I went to college to be a professor. And then I like changed my mind like halfway through because I realized that was not going to be any fun. And so then I went down this path of like, well, if you get total financial freedom, you got to have all your bills covered by passive income. then you'll be able to do what you finally want to do, which is teach and coach and help other people. And so I did that. I got a little passive income, got a few dozen rentals, like pay the bills, started coaching people. And like my coaching business within a short period of time was making six figures a year. And I was like, damn, like this is like, I could have used this to pay my bills too, you know, because there's one thing called passive income that comes from rentals, but there's another thing called passion income that comes from doing what you love, doing what you would do, even if you had all the money in the world anyways. I don't care. You got $100 million in the bank. I would wake up and teach and coach and help people anyways, right? I just enjoy doing it the same way people like video games. Like I just, it's fun to me, right? So if you need 10 grand a month, like to live your ideal lifestyle, and you can make five of it from rentals and five of it from a business you love, to me, that's actually a better way to get to your ideal lifestyle, because the business, it's often easier to spin up a business that you love that makes money than it is to accumulate enough rentals to make that same monthly figure. And so now what I'm doing is I'm helping people start businesses that they love, specifically like coaching or client-based businesses. If you want to help someone, you have a message to spread to the world. And then helping them get those businesses up to doing, you know, healthy six-figure revenue. Then I'll show them how to put it in real estate to preserve it. And that's what I'm really excited about right now.
Okay. This is awesome. Passion income. I've never heard that term. So tell me this though, someone's listened to you and they say, I don't really know what that looks like. What would be some tips that you would give that person to say, how do I really dial that in? I've never owned a business and I don't know what my passion, you know, job would be, my passion income would be, what source. What would you tell that person as far as a process to get to that point?
Man, that's a great question. I struggle with this too. And it's funny to think like, cause I'm so passionate about a lot of things. It's funny that I couldn't figure out what I was passionate about at one time. So I realized that this is a real struggle for people. And, you know, my original answer to that question was to think about like, what do you love to talk about? What books do you love to read? What gives you energy? What gets you excited? You know, a lot of times you might have to ask other people because you can lose sight of your own passion. You ask your spouse or something, hey, what do I really love? You know, and because we forget, like if you're in the 9-to-5 grind, you'll actually like get kind of dead inside almost where you're just like, you just go through the motions and you forget. Those are some tips to find your passion. But I do want to say this, this is a lesson I learned kind of the hard way, is businesses are not about products. Businesses are about people. Businesses, the foundation of a business is a person, right? Like, so if you want to change the world, the first question you ask is, who do I want to help? And you fall in love with your prospects, not your products. Mm. And so for me, originally, I wanted to help like 25-year-old Brian get out of the 9-to-5 and, you know, get his time back. And I did that for a while, but now I'm more called to help people who want to change the world. People have a big mission. They're passionate. Guys like you, I mean, you're sitting here at Wealth Without Wall Street. You built a studio to do this podcast because you have a message you want to share with the world. I think that's freaking awesome. If I lived in Birmingham, we'd probably be good friends and hang out and have beers. You know, it's like, I like people like yourselves. And so that's what I would start with, is like, who would you want to have a beer with? Who would you be excited about spending a lot of time with? Because your clients are going to be that for you. They'll spend more time with your clients than you might with your family. Yeah. You spend more time with your clients than you would with your friends. You better like your clients. And so start with that. And then you say, hey, what do you need? And that becomes a suite of products that you create. And that will never end. You'll always create more things to help that person because you care about that person.
Well, and I think this too, I mean, people have called me selfish. I think my wife has called me that several times today. But when you start with the who do you want to help and who do you want to serve, most likely it's someone just like you, right? I mean,
correct.
Who do we know best but ourselves? So when you start with, I mean, and that's, we did this by accident or by providence. It was not because Joey and I really sat down and thought this through, but our client base, who we started serving, was ourselves. And we got on the podcast and we started talking about the things we were interested in. And of course that started resonating because the people we would already, who are already clients of ours, were like, yes, because they were just like us. And then more and more came. And it was that message. Well, when you know yourself, then you can, like you said, you can create products and solutions toward yourself. So when I start thinking of ideas, I'm like, this is me. I like businesses. I want to be in businesses. That's why I think, well, how can I create another one I don't have to work in, but I own and make money from it? Like, this is a beautiful thing. It creates a business opportunity for someone who didn't, maybe would have never been a business owner. Maybe they're scared to take that step out. I mean, right now, Joey and I are hiring people. And one of the last questions we ask them is, what would you do if money wasn't an obstacle? And it's really interesting. That point, people maybe come up with, well, you know, I may start X business or I do this. And then our follow-up question is, well, how do you feel like our business can help you get to that goal? And they're like, oh, I don't know. But every once in a while, one will catch the light and they'll say, well, being around entrepreneurs like yourself, I think you would help me push over that ledge. You'd help me knock down that last, you know, roadblock or obstacle standing in my way from not doing it. And when we know that about ourselves, we know what our greatest weaknesses are. And so you as a coach, I love that passion income. You as a coach can help people get passionate about what they want. And when you know that you're serving other people who are just like you or very similar to you, then you know it helps drive them. And I think that's what makes a coach great, is when you help someone get out of themselves what they didn't even know was possible. And that's what I mean. That's why I've been a coach to Joey for so long. This guy's he's exceeded more things than you might imagine. Mm. And today is his 40th birthday. He never thought he was going to get out of his 30s, but today Joey got out of 30s and he's 40.
I'm excited about the next 40. I'll tell you that much. And I'll tell you, as far as what you're talking about, Brian, I love you're kind of challenging my mindset, because Russ and I have built this business that we are 100% passionate about educating. Like, we don't feel like we're going to work every day, even though we work hard. I mean, we have a lot to do on a weekly basis, but it is our passion that then has fueled all these passive income ideas that we've gotten from all the people we've interviewed over the last several years to do exactly what you're talking about, to preserve and to grow wealth. And in our case, it was, okay, how do we create more passive income that will cover our expenses? And because we want to give the journey and lay it out for everybody that is just like us. So you've really brought me kind of full circle in my thinking here to see that, man, we're on that same journey that you're talking about.
So Brian, I want to end with this thought, because when we were on your show, you came up with an amazing idea. A better idea than I've ever come up with.
Than the idea guy.
That's right. And it was under the concept of tracking maybe our most important resource, which is time. Take us through that conversation and how one might do that and what would be the benefit of that.
Yeah. What we were talking about was basically all the different investing strategies and which one, you know, is going to be the best. And there's a lot of debate among that. And what we boiled it down to is like, well, what's the purpose of investing? What's the purpose of passive income, right? It's to get you time freedom. That's what everyone starts out wanting. You know, that's the reason anyone wants money. It's like, it's this emotional thing like, oh man, if I had money, I would feel so good. I'd feel so at peace. I'd be so relaxed. I'd be able to just like float around, do whatever I want. You know, that's what everybody wants. And so we all track like numbers, like money. How many units do you have? How much money do you make? You know, how much is your net worth? And I suggested, like, why don't we track how much free time you have, or, you know, track how much control over your time you have. You could slice that however you want based upon your goals, but how much time do you spend doing what you love versus things that you hate? If that's really what we're doing this for, then why isn't that being tracked by most people as the true indicator as to whether or not what they're doing is working?
Well, that was challenging to me because we, as we mentioned on your show, we are now tracking our passive income every month and sharing that with our audience. We want to be 100% authentic and share with you the wins and the losses, which we have a fair amount of those, but to be able to also track and report on what the whole purpose is, or what, how much of that time we're buying back. That's huge. Like I really feel like we need to implement this right away.
Oh, it's a total game changer. Brian, this is amazing. If someone wanted to get connected with you, they're an entrepreneur and they want to start coaching with you, or they want to learn more about some of the real estate things that you've done in the past, what would be the best way for them to connect?
Yeah, I would say just find me on Facebook or Instagram. Just add me on there, shoot me a DM, just tell me your story, and happy to help anybody any way I can.
All right. Well, we'll make sure we add Brian's handles inside the show notes. Take advantage of these ideas. Get passionate. Invest in yourself. Start tracking your number one resource, which is time. And break it down. Like Brian said, how much time are you spending working? How much time are you spending playing? How much time are you spending creating new opportunities? And how much time are you spending aloof checking Facebook or whatever that's not getting you closer? If you're on Brian's Facebook to DM him, that's a different story. But if you're trying to figure out, you know, what Joey's weekend was like, just skip it. Get back to something that's going to be productive. Thank you, Brian, for coming on the show. We love having other entrepreneurs just give us great value, and you did that. Thank you so much.
I love what you guys are doing, and thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks as always for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Wow. That episode was on fire.
No doubt. The way you can continue to gain value from these episodes is when you learn something, you go and share it with somebody else. So today, I want you to share this episode with one person that you know will love it.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.